At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome in on a gorgeous Saturday afternoon. Not afternoon quite yet. Saturday morning here in San Francisco. We're talking about the Cal Golden Bears, who came up winners last night against the University of North Carolina in front of a nationally televised audience. Is this a little Chuck Mangione here, County Zay? I think so. We're going trumpet solo for whatever reason. I think my man Pasta is rubbed off. It's sort of like blind leading the blind when it's, you know, Pasta who is the guy that's telling Zach, yeah, how to become a successful producer. And both men are just so random when it comes to their music. I have no idea where we're going with any of this stuff, but I can appreciate it. So we're talking a little college football. As Cal, as I mentioned, beat North Carolina. Bill Belichick was in town. Sammy was there and was excited about the aura that is one Bill Belichick.
It was pretty cool to see. You know, again, as much of a butt of a joke that he is these days, he is still the greatest NFL coach of my lifetime by far.
And when you look at him and he's just staring at that chart, you know he's still the same guy. Like, you know, I think he's to a certain degree just impervious to all the other crap.
He's had so much success. I mean, he doesn't need to listen to that stuff.
But I do think his world is about North Carolina and being Cal. Like, that's all he is focused on. And he's probably the exact same guy with the exact same approach at the college level like he had at New England. He just simply he doesn't have Tom Brady.
No.
He didn't have the players. And I don't know. I'm one of those that I always like to zig when everyone's zagging. I think it might work there. If he gets through this year and creates a little weird culture out there.
That is the key there, Dan. And it's he didn't inherit the most healthy program from Mac Brown. And Mac Brown, I mean, UNC's never been a world-beating program. I mean, I think they've had one 10-win season the last 20, 30-some-odd years. And they had a couple of good years under Mac Brown, especially early on. But, Belichick did not inherit a program that was in a good space. And then he brought in 40 transfer players this year. They basically redid the entire roster, which is what happens a lot in college football now in this new modern age. I do think there's a level of Belichick came in here expecting it to be a little bit easier than it has been. Clearly, he overestimated or underestimated, I guess I would say, the challenge that running this program would present. He probably underestimated, again, the state of the program, as I just mentioned, was not left in a good space when Mac Brown left here. I would be willing to believe what you said there, Dan, that he could turn it around if I believe that he would be staying there for more than a year. I don't know. Right now, I kind of have trouble seeing that happen. The fact that they're issuing statements midway through the year, we have full faith in Belichick's ability. You know, this is a rebuild. It's going to take some time. I am affirming my commitment to this program. That's never a good thing to see. No. You know, we call it the dreaded vote of confidence. And the fact that, you know, less than six games into his tenure, he was getting that dreaded vote of confidence from the university, that doesn't bode well. But on the flip side, I mean, nothing that's happening this year is going to compel an NFL team to be like, oh, man, Belichick's just sitting right there. We got to make that happen. I don't think he's ever going back to the NFL. So, yeah, if he could stick around for a couple of years, I can absolutely see him turning the program around and doing something with it. But it's just a matter of if he's going to want to stick it out. He's 73 years old. That said, a college coach doesn't have to do as much these days in terms of recruiting as they used to, because that's what the general manager is for. I don't know if Michael Lombardi is a good answer for that, though. So
listen, he better hang on to that job if he wants Jordan hanging around.
You think so?
Well, Jordan Hudson isn't like hanging out with a 73-year-old man that no longer has the power or the cachet of being a head coach somewhere.
Maybe he's just like really funny when they're together.
All right.
Maybe he just gets her. I mean, the whole, there's, you know, Gen Z women are going after older guys these days because they're more mature. So
Jordan Hudson will dictate his next move, I think. By the way, so something leaked recently, and there's a lot of this stuff, and it was on Pablo Torre's podcast, Where Else?, where they were doing a podcast, I want to say, or they were doing a coach's show. And this leaked from NFL Films, I want to say. And so their mics were hot. I'm talking about Jordan Hudson along with Bill Belichick, and they were in studio, and they were dealing with the producers, and they were going, they were about to do a show, and she had questions about the graphics, and she had questions about things that were in pre-production before they started filming. And it was really, I get it. If I'm part of the crew, if I'm a producer, if I'm somebody there, I'm like, just, you're rolling your eyes. Like, are you kidding me? Who is this woman? What are we doing here? But I do want to say this, is that it's sort of enlightening because she's pretty smart. She's actually what it is that she was pointing out from a person from a television background.
You can tell she knew what she was talking about.
She's just like, yeah, you know what, man? You're taking care of your man, because I wish I had producers back like that when I was on the air, because she was protecting the bottom line, which is her product, her investment, that being Bill Belichick. And her advice was too hands-on. It wasn't, it could have been, the message could have been a little bit more delicate and delivered properly, but what it is that she was saying,
the intent,
respect,
was there.
Man.
Okay.
All right, let's stay with college football. We're trying to bring it back, Sam. You and I, we're gonna bring
the day.
Back.
This is the day. On the last show we do before Warriors this week starts, we finally did it.
Don's hanging out in Concord, wants to talk about the Cal Bears and also get into the 49ers. Hey, Don, welcome aboard.
Hey, 49er fans and Cal Bear fans out there in my happy, sunshiny life right now, presented by that fucking, excuse my language, Mr. Sagapuletelli. He was a pinpoint passer. He's the best in the United States at pinpoint passing. What do you think, Sam?
He is pretty good, as long as his receivers can, you know, catch those balls there. You know, that's the big the thing that needs to happen with JKS.
And we
got to
catch your language, apparently, there.
I know.
Tone it down,
man.
Don.
What's dirtier, some of these this performance from UNC or your language sometimes, man?
French fries, I said. Excuse me, I said French fries.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
So anyway, man, next time we're gonna win again next Friday night as well, Cal Bears, that is. You got to go on the road, probably leave town on Wednesday like the teams have to do. You got to leave 2 days before. They got another win next Friday, I believe.
You think so? I mean, it's always risky, Don, counting Cal wins before
they got
happen.
Next week.
I think they got Virginia Tech next week. They got to fly out there and take on the Hokies. And that's never easy going into Blacksburg. How was Tightwad Hill there, Don? Was it easy getting down?
Oh, it was so nice. Just cruise the bike down the hill. You know, I ride my bike to all the Cal games, but my other buddies, a lot of them ride BART and stuff like that. Oh, we had a great time. A lot of beer, a lot of sandwiches, and a bunch of good friends. That's all Tightwad's about.
Tightwad Hill, for those that aren't familiar with it, is a big mountain that's it's a hill adjacent to the stadium that if you go to the top of it, you can actually see the – it's sort of like back in the day at Wrigley Field before they did away with the rooftops, where people would sit in beach chairs on rooftops out there on Addison Avenue, one of those, where you could actually watch Cub games from the rooftops across from Wrigley Field. Sort of analogous to Tightwad Hill, Don?
Right. Oh, yeah, good summary. I also noticed that they're doing a big construction of the rugby field because, you know, we like to do the same thing once in a while for the rugby games as well. You just sit on the little side hill. So anyway, 49ers, man, you know I love Purdy, man. I'm a Purdy man. If you guys listen to me and know me, I'm all about Purdy. So we got to rest him one more time, then we're going to the playoffs.
Dan, sorry, Don, how long do you want to wait till you bring Brock Purdy back?
2 more weeks, I'd say.
All right, so
Kittle, wait. It's up to Kittle. If Kittle plays really well mañana, we'll be on the right track. So, because he's the boss of the team, I think, Mr. Okay. Kittle there.
Awesome.
Thanks, Don.
Okay.
Thanks for that call, Don. Let's watch language next time.
Does Don ever go inside Memorial Stadium or whatever it's called?
He says he always watches the games from Tightwad, which, you know, I wonder if he rides his bike all the way out from Concord.
Price is right.
So. No, hey, for what you pay. So I've actually never watched a game from up on Tightwad.
Neither have I.
That's my dad's done it a few times. He told me it has to be really hard to walk down. That's because you're supposed to be, you know, drinking and smoking when you're up there. And so you have to do it in a way that
how long does it take to get up to the top of Tightwad Hill?
I'm not sure.
Is there a path?
It's probably something I should do soon, take a game in from up there. But, like, you know, you get a better view in the stadium.
Yeah, and you're sitting on it. You're sitting on the chair. Or you're sitting on something.
But that's also where they launched the cannon from, is up there too, is up on Tightwad Hill. So that's one of the traditions. We're talking about college football traditions. A game up on Tightwad Hill is
that's a good call.
That's a tradition that I haven't done yet, and I have no excuse to have not done. It's like going to Alcatraz. You know, it's right there, yet no one's ever done it. If you're a local, I guess, but I don't know if it's exactly the same. But
we just had the swim from Alcatraz, and just to sort of, as I digress for a moment, if you're ever swimming back from Alcatraz, so we do. Not me. I didn't do this last Alcatraz swim, but I have done it. So when you're crossing, well, I have not done it. But when you're crossing, I have a buddy who just did this. So you're crossing. There's a cross current that you have to come from Alcatraz to get back to Aquatic Park. And crossing that current is really, really problematic. Nobody gives a damn about what it is that I just said. So, anyways.
Well, I'm kind of curious. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the whole long-distance swimming, as you've told me in the past. Because I remember we had
Currents, yeah.
Yeah, like we remember we had I'm spacing on her name, who's doing the
Breed?
Yeah. No, the swim up and down the coast of California.
Isn't her name Catherine Breed?
Yeah, that's who it was, Catherine Breed. And you know, I remember telling you about it, and you were just like, you know, ask her about the currents, because the currents, that's what makes or breaks the swim. I remember you told me the story about your friend who I think did the English Channel swim, was stuck in the same spot for like 2 hours or something like
that.
You
had to pull him, He trained over 2 years to swim the English Channel.
Yeah, that sounds miserable, because if you play the currents wrong. So no, the currents absolutely play a role there in swimming through the bay.
Well, it's funny because this guy that I told you, he's from Boston, right? So everybody from Boston is sort of like Philly. They're all like 6 feet at birth. And I told you, he's sort of like, he reminds me of Peter Griffin from The Family Guy. And he's just this immense guy. He's from everything is Boston. He's such a chowderhead. Like everything, he emotes Boston.
Cox is kind of the Boston habit.
And so, you know, sometimes he'll want to swim, like do a cove or do a mile, a couple of miles. And I'm like,
swim.
My hamstring, my shoulder's not feeling very good. Let's go, you know, let's do a flag and just do maybe a half mile. One day we were going into the water, and I said something. Oh, we were talking about randomly as we were going to the water. I was talking about Machu Picchu in Peru. I'm like, yeah, I got to Cusco as I was going to Machu Picchu, and as I landed, I got an altitude headache. And he looked at me, and I was, you know, and because he was compiling all these sort of injuries, and I don't always want to swim as much as he does. And then I just told him I had altitude sickness, and he said, "Hey, you're a delicate little flower, aren't you?" And I say that to segue to the 49ers in the wide receiver position.
Speaking of delicate flowers.
Well, Ricky Pearsall, he's only in year two, but there's a lot of injuries. And sometimes the body just isn't equipped to play at the NFL level. And it's too early, obviously, to make any sort of indictments on the young man. But is he a delicate little flower like the PCL now? I mean, dude's got to get out on the field because you need wide receivers. And I'm just wondering, you know, obviously an awkward segue, but I'm just wondering here whether Ricky Pearsall is going to be one of those guys that's just like often injured. And it's not necessarily one injury, but it's just like everything.
I think it is trending towards that. He's got the knee injury list last year. I think he had a hamstring or something last year on top of, you know, the getting shot thing. But that's obviously not on him. But yeah, it's looking like that, Dan, because when Ricky Pearsall's on the field, you know, Ricky Pearsall, he was the first draft pick before a string of receivers. It was him, then Keon Coleman, then Xavier Leggett, who went to the Carolina Panthers. Keon Coleman obviously going to the Buffalo Bills. And when you see three receivers get picked in a line like that, obviously, like, they're going to be compared, especially because the Niners had the first pick there. They could have taken any of those three. And right now, though, Ricky, I think, is looking like the best of those three when he's on the field. Key phrase there, when he is on the field. Because he has been the escape hatch for this team early on. For Mac Jones, a big reason why he was able to pull out wins against, what's that team? The Saints, and then the Falcons and the Rams, was he had Ricky to go to whenever, you know, when I find myself in times of trouble, Ricky Pearsall comes to me. And that's what Mac was able to do. And that's a great thing for Ricky. That's what you want to see out of a first round pick. But then when he's not in the field, it's, oh man, like, I don't want to say the B word, bust, because I think it's still too early to make that distinction. But I think Ricky is very much trending in that direction of he's going to be really, really good, but if he gets hit the wrong way, the dude's just made of glass, and it's he's great when he's available, but it's that key word, when available.
I mean, think about the wide receivers going into the game tomorrow. You got Kendrick Bourne, and that's about it. Because, okay, J.J. Juwan Jennings has got five broken
ankles,
ribs,
knees, head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Everything's broken on him.
I mean, who's the and he's pretty much a slot. Who's your other wideout? I think Jordan Watkins, is he going to get run?
I think Jordan Watkins is expected to play.
That's
you
crazy.
Know what? Zach, if we can get Hotkey 3 potted up in the back there, let me know if we're good. We had Jennifer Lee Chan on the morning roast on Thursday. We asked her, who are the receivers going to be this weekend? Here's what she had to say about that.
Well, Zach, it is Juwan Jennings.
Right, let's try that again.
I think it's what you've been seeing in the past. I think it is Juwan Jennings, Kendrick Bourne. Sky Moore was working on the side field, so I think he'll be out there to return. Potentially, Jordan Watkins will do that. He was also out there. He hasn't been out there in a while with a calf injury, so he was out there also limited fashion. But it's going to be Marquez Valdez-Scantling. It's going to be DeMarcus Robinson, Juwan, and Kendrick. So that's what you're probably going to see on Sunday night.
Valdez-Scantling has been ruled out since then.
There you go. So it's going to be a little bit of DeMarcus Robinson. That is where the return of George Kittle is going to be very key for this team. And it's the absence of Kittle obviously changed this offense. He's a massive part of it. I think Kittle going down is part of why I think Christian McCaffrey's been used as a receiver so much, Dan. I don't know if I brought this up on Saturdays yet, but in his first 27 games as a 49er, so when he was traded all the way up to the end of the 23 season, he averaged about 5 targets per game, Christian McCaffrey. This year, he's averaging 10 targets per game. That's just how much of he's been used as a receiver. And I do think it's been a little bit to the detriment of the run game because obviously they're not running him as much if they're using him as a receiver, but he's been getting a lot of work there. Kittle's return, I think, can create a domino effect. You get another dependable pass catcher you can throw the ball to. Does that kind of, you know, lessen the target load for Christian McCaffrey a little bit? You put him in the backfield a little bit more. Maybe he finds a little bit more of that burst. You get the run game going again, because that's the other thing I think we need to talk about at some point today, Dan, is the struggle of the 49ers run game to get going. They have not eclipsed 100 yards rushing as a team, Dan, since that week one win against Seattle.
Well, that offensive line is just doo-doo right now.
Well, I think that's that kind of, you know, maybe we can get into that right now. The offensive line is, the regression of the offensive line this year has been staggering. And, you know, this is why I don't want to bring Brock back anytime soon, is I just do not trust him to stay healthy behind this offensive
line. So just throw my poor man Mac Jones to the Wolves? Is that what we're doing?
Well, yeah.
No wide receivers, no offensive line. Stem the tide,
Mac. I don't have $250 million invested in Mac Jones right now. So if the money situation is a little bit different, I think you're playing it a little bit different.
Good point.
But Trent Williams has turned mortal before our very eyes. And he's 37 years old, plays one of the most difficult positions in professional sports. I'm not going to take away from Trent Williams' career. He is a Hall of Famer. He is a made man at his position, one of the best to ever do it. But he's also 37 years old. At some point, reality sets in, and reality is often disappointing. As
he's
Thanos
a Hall pass right now.
I mean, I guess what Hall pass in that what he doesn't you don't kind of rake him over the fire, I guess, for the poor performance? Or what do you mean by that, by Hall pass?
Meaning you can just walk right past him. You can just
I thought you were trying to give him a pass free in the shuttle. Reign
to go up and down the hall and go wherever it is that you please.
All right, I thought you were going a different direction there, but that's absolutely he's a revolving door there. He's not dependable.
And Dom Pooney, okay.
Well, I think he's playing, injured. He's playing with a knee injury.
Got it, but man, he's certainly not.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
The sort of Dom Pooney we saw a year ago, and Brendel's been...
Honestly,
not very good. It's just
Brendel. I mean, I remember the first time I saw Jake Brendel in person. It was at training camp in 2022. And he was standing next to Spencer Burford, who was in his first year as a rookie. Burford was playing right guard at the time during this drill. And Burford's a massive human being. Like, he's like 6'8 something, 350 pounds, just an absolute beast of an offensive lineman. It's a shame that he's a marshmallow on the field. And then you see Jake Brendel next to him, who's like 6'3", 299, this little, you know, itty-bitty, teeny-tiny center, which, you know, 6'3", 300 pounds is small for a center. The fact that he's held up as long as he has is pretty impressive. He's regressing. Connor Colby, seventh-round rookie.
Bad.
You're only going to get so much out of him. Colt McKivitz has been the 49ers' best offensive lineman this year. That cannot be the case. You cannot be in a situation where Colton McKivitz, who... was so bad at blocking last year, they needed to keep George Kittle on the right side of that line just to keep the run game going because McKivitz's blocking was so bad. He cannot be your best offensive lineman. Unfortunately, that's the situation that the 49ers find themselves in. And then they're shocked that the running game can't get going. It's because you have no real push up front down in the trenches.
Well, it's not only that, but it's protecting your quarterback. I know that a lot of people feel as though immediately following that game that Brock Purdy would have not been sacked six times, I would push back and say, yes, he would have. I know Brock Purdy is more equipped and a better athlete to sort of extend plays, and he has that quick burst. He wasn't going anywhere against Tampa Bay. And I think Brock Purdy is he's a better athlete. I'm still not thoroughly convinced he's a better quarterback. I just think Mac Jones has done a really good job, but again, when I think about what it is that Mac Jones had to deal with on a bum knee and dealing with his oblique issues a week ago, there was just nowhere to go. Those six sacks, it's not as though he hung on to the ball too long or he tried to get out of the pocket and they got chased down. That thing collapsed.
Well, there was, I went back and looked at all the sacks. I would say there's maybe one, maybe two of them where it's like, you know what? I think Brock could have gotten out of that. I do think that there was like, there was, I think, which one was it here? I got it written down. Yeah, the first sack that he had, I think there's a little, I think Brock has mobility that he could have gotten out of that one. But, and this is where like some of the
Because a lot of that pressure is coming up the middle.
Yeah.
And when you get pressure in the middle in your face, okay, it changes a lot of that. And it's not as, because usually every team has an edge guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every team has somebody who sets the edge that is there to do one thing, and that's to hunt quarterbacks. But when you get pressure up the middle, it means the whole system's breaking down.
Yeah. Well, there was also, I thought there were some good blitzes too. The third sack that they had on Mac Jones, they had a really good cornerback blitz there. I think the other part of it, Dan, was, this is something I brought with Spadoni yesterday, when you get into obvious passing downs, when you're third and five or longer against a team like Tampa that blitzes the fourth most in the league, when you're on third and long, you're setting your quarterback up to get blitzed. And there were three sacks that I had last week, Dan, that I just straight up pin on Kyle Shanahan because it's just poor play calling that set up a third and long. You have these, you know, off-tackle stretch run plays to the left and right that Shanahan loves doing that are probably the most predictable play in football right now. Then you got, you know, you're running these check down passes to the left and to the right, you know, doing the same play over and over again, getting 2 or 3 yards. Now you have, again, a third and long. Obviously, you're going to be putting more pressure on Mac Jones because you know he can't escape from that pressure. And now you're going against an Atlanta team, which, oh, hey, Dan, I don't know if you know this, no one blitzes in the NFL more than the Atlanta Falcons do. They just made Josh Allen miserable for an entire night down at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on Monday Night Football this last week. I guarantee you, if the third and long, third and five, six, seven, or more like that, you're going to see a lot more pressure on Mac Jones because Falcons saw this offensive line can't keep him upright, and he cannot escape from the pressure. And this is where, you know, people forget about the mobility that Brock Purdy had, the ability to make plays, get out of the pocket when it collapses and push the ball downfield. Mac Jones does not have that ability. And Brock has been able to keep plays alive. He had, last year in L.A., Dan, he had a lot of great runs where he kept plays alive, got the ball downfield, kept the drive going. And the Niners lost that game because, in part, Ronnie Bell had an ugly drop and special teams failed him. Mac Jones, he can run the offense, but he can't really do much else if things go off the rails there. And that's just a big thing that he's four starts in. That's going to take time to truly get the feel of the Shanahan playbook. You know, Brock Purdy, you know, only had so much of a feel of the playbook when he got started. But, you know, we're talking about, you know, the difference between Mac and Brock. That is one of the differences I just don't think we could discount right now.
I also think the ball comes out of his hands a little bit faster. I'm talking about Mac Jones, and he's going through his reads to sort of, you know, offset the fact that he's not as good of an athlete. Again, we could talk Brock Purdy and Mac Jones. I'm a big Mac Jones supporter. We see you guys on the phone lines. Got to get to a break. Javier and company, hang in there. We'll hear from you as we talk about the 49ers. If you want to join the conversation, it's 888-957-9570. Sam Lubman, Dan, what do you got, Sam?
Before we hit the break here, Dan, I got a question about Kyle Shanahan on the other side I want to throw at you.
Of course you do.
Of course, you know, and it's just, there's something we need to stop getting on Kyle for, I think.
Oh, you're going to defend Kyle.
I am
Where's this coming from?
I always call it like I see it with Kyle Shanahan, and we'll get into why on the other side.
All right. We'll do that and much more here on 95.7 The Game. Experience. Do you have a preference, Sam, when it comes to the major sports in terms of play-by-play, what it is you like to listen to? And who are, I don't know if you and I have talked about this, who are your go-tos at the national level?
In terms of broadcasters,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's no like one crew that like I kind of will gravitate to, but I do want to kind of pick up on what Evan said there and kind of what you said about baseball. And because I did some baseball games back in Miami, and I agree with Evan there. I like doing baseball.
Oh, you
the
did
most.
Play-by-play baseball?
I did play-by-play for
the
baseball.
Canes.
Yeah, I did Miami Hurricanes baseball.
That's a hell of a program.
And women's basketball, I did that. And you talk about, again, the lull moments there, but that kind of what goes into what Evan said about the storytelling there and, you know, describing, you know, just you paint the picture of what's going on at the game. You don't just say what's going on. And I always enjoyed that aspect of it. You can be very more conversational with your co-broadcaster when you're doing that. versus, you know, I did the first play-by-play I ever did was Miami women's basketball. And, you know, Miami, they weren't, you know, a great team. They were a good team. But the pacing of it was so fast. I was blown away by how fast it was. I was not ready for it. And it took me a couple games to really get up to speed on that one. That's what made basketball so challenging for me is just, I don't know, Evan, maybe if you want to speak to this, like keeping up with the speed of the game at first is really difficult.
And what sport is this?
Basketball.
Yeah, especially, look, you got a team like, it feels like the Big 12 doesn't have any center anymore. So a program like Texas or, Louisville, you're getting teams that are running up and down. You got these different schools now that play in like the A-10. Dayton plays five-out basketball. They're just playing between the three-point lines now. So, and similar to the NBA, it is a very fast-paced sport. And if you're trying to play it on radio, do play-by-play on radio, it demands a lot of resetting, but also understanding when to just let it flow. I think that's the split-second decision that someone like Tim Roy, who's now working on, his 31st season for the Warriors, that's what someone like he has mastered in a sense. But it always changes because the game changes and you have to evolve with it.
And I noticed that you got the pipes today. I won't say what it is that he did last night, but I usually, you know, I've lived long enough where you wake up the next morning after having a good Friday night and those pipes are... You got the James Earl Jones going?
You know me pretty well, Dan.
The James Earl Jones?
I got 2.5 hours to get these right.
The James Earl Jones.
That sounded pretty good.
Barry White. You know, if you go hard tonight, there's a legend by the name of John Facenda who used to do NFL films. The guy used to smoke maybe 3 packs of cigarettes a day. But it lends itself to, you know, having that commanding, deep sort of taking over the room. And I can tell my man went hard last night because he sounds like God right now. But that's perfect.
Well,
right?
Don't tell that to anybody at Sarah and St. Francis. Those are two very religious schools.
Now, who's going to tell them? Your secret's safe here.
Listen,
with
I went to
listeners.
SI, man. There are more closet drunks at those schools than anywhere else.
Well, we all know that everyone is locked into the weekend wrap. I mean, this show is, I don't know, some might say national.
Jeez.
I mean, you guys are getting callers from everywhere from the times I listen. You know, I always pop in around 9:30, 10 o'clock, see what my boys are doing. And you guys sound great, so appreciate you letting me plug the game today.
Yeah, I appreciate you trying to sugar this thing, but we hear from Mitch, and that's about it. But thank you so much.
And that's going national. We got to get our boat.
New Jersey.
All right. Well, good luck today, and thanks for stopping by, Ev.
Thanks, boys.
Let's continue the conversation talking about the San Francisco 49ers. Javier has been standing by out in the East Bay, wants to get us back on track. Javier, welcome to the show, bud.
Hey, let's pot up line one.
Hello?
Sorry, Javier. Caddy Zach and my man Evan. You know, first of all, Ev was out last night and Caddy Zach was going hard a week ago, so both of them left their brains someplace else, but we're ready to go. What's up, Hav?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing as good as I can be.
So I got a question for you. So the number one win the Niners had this year was against the Rams, correct?
I'm sure if we wanted to power rank the wins, yeah, if we could, for the sake of this argument, put the Rams win number one.
And the key to the game largely was play calling. They got the ball out of Mac's hands quickly and allowed him to kind of make simple reads and push the ball downfield and not have to worry about the pressure coming up front with the, you know, admittedly weak offensive line.
All right. Is there a question in there?
And so going forward with the Falcons, I think it's the same formula. We have to get the ball out quickly, make the reads very simple for Mac. You know, he doesn't do the off-schedule stuff very well. But Burford also, by the way, is not 6'8". He's 6'4".
6'4", I mean, he looks 6'8 in person. But I don't know, maybe that was the pads. But, okay, good to know there on that one. Appreciate that.
What do you got, Javier?
No, so my question is, don't you think that the play calling is going to be the key to the game, just the same way it was against the Rams? Like last week, I think it was just a bad overall scheme by Kyle going into that game.
I agree with that.
I think Saleh had a good scheme, but it was ruined by Warner's injury so early on in the game.
I agree with that.
But I think Bethune has a good chance of, you know, again, not taking the place of Warner, but at least filling in capably in the meantime. The Falcons are a completely different team on the road. and the Niners are far more comfortable at home. So I think the game will be a little easier than people are giving or making it seem currently.
Thanks, Javier. And you know what? I'm with Javier. I think that, you know, we have a tendency to spend so much time breaking down games and looking at who's injured and how good a defensive line is against a bad offensive line, that being the San Francisco 49ers. But sometimes it's nothing more so than they're on a short week. And sometimes it's sort of very simplistic in that emotionally, I think they may have left something on the field last Monday night, that big, big, big win against Buffalo. I'm not sure whether this team is ready to play football tomorrow. And so sometimes it's just where you're at mentally that I think the 49ers could be. I wouldn't be surprised if they're positioned to play, despite everything that is stacked up against them, to play a very good football game and beat Atlanta tomorrow.
It's certainly possible. But also keep in mind, Dan, the Falcons, for whatever reason, they've been kind of a bugaboo for Kyle Shanahan. The Falcons are 2-1 against Shanahan in Shanahan's tenure here. Both of those wins, one was in 2019, the other was in, I want to say, 2022 in Atlanta. The previous one in 2019 was here in the Bay Area.
With
down
that
at
catch?
Levi's.
That was who had the catch in the end zone?
Oh, what was that? Was in 2019. Oh.
That was, he was their, the wide receiver. He is
Julio Jones.
Julio Jones.
Yeah, Julio. I vaguely remember that one now. But then a couple of years ago with Marcus Mariota, the Niners went down to Atlanta and laid an absolute egg. So it can happen here. And again, this is, you know, they're going to be bringing the heat on Mac Jones. That's what they're going to do. They saw the Bucs, you know, get Mac out of his comfort zone there with how much pressure they brought. And so that's obviously what I think the Falcons are going to do. What the Niners do in response, though, this is where I think the return of George Kittle could really come in handy here is, can the Niners maybe exploit the middle of the defensive field of the Falcons? The linebacker coverage isn't quite there. Having McCaffrey and Kittle to be able to run those crossing routes, can Kyle get into a rhythm there? And you mentioned, you know, the caller Javier. You mentioned the scheme for Shanahan wasn't that great last week. I agree. I think, you know, anytime you see McCaffrey run up in the line up in the backfield, the first step he makes to the right or to the left, I know, oh, he's doing an off tackle run right here. And if you're the linebacker, then the second you see McCaffrey move, you know exactly where to go. That's just how predictable the offense gets with Shanahan sometimes. Need to see something a little bit more right now from Shanahan.
I would say it's not predictable when it works. At some point, he has to establish the run. That is sort of the bread and butter. And so you have to get back to it. And it's dependent on the offensive line to make those reach blocks or those zone blocks and get back to Kyle Shanahan football. But he has to try it. He has to try and establish the run. And I think it looks very predictable when the defense gets penetration and you're talking about, you know, McCaffrey getting dropped for another 2-yard loss and everybody's like, well, what are you doing, Shanahan? But how often have we seen in the past where it's McCaffrey getting to the second level or gashing somebody for 4, 5, or 6 yards a pop? And then suddenly you're able to go play action. I think he has to. Kyle Shanahan knows that I can't abandon it entirely. So while it looks predictable, I think Kyle Shanahan is saying, I need to at some point be able to run the football.
I mean, at some point, yeah. But again, like I said, then they haven't crossed the century mark as a team since week one. It's just the running game is just not there. It's being snuffed out.
So do you just leave it alone entirely and throw 75 times again?
This is one where I think you need to look at Kyle Shanahan, the genius, the offensive genius, and he's got to get creative in figuring it out. If it's, you know, using the pass game to open up the run game, if it's just running different run plays even, instead of just the same plays to the right and to the left every single time. I'll be honest, yeah, I don't have the official answer for that one in terms of how he does that. That is the challenge I think Kyle Shanahan's going to have to face this week.
Well, the challenge is the offensive line has got to put a hat on somebody and make some space.
And that, I think, kind of boils down to the ultimate struggle that the Niners are dealing with here, which is at the end of the day, maybe the solution is there is no real solution because you can only block and do so much. It reminds me of a story, Dan, when I played football in high school. You know, I'm sitting in the room with, you know, with my head coach and another coach, and they're discussing, you know, certain run plays and stuff that they would like to run. And I remember my coach is like, well, want to run that play, can't block for that one. Well, can't run this play, we can't block for this one right now. And I'm just sitting there being like, man, we really suck on O-line right now. I played on the defensive line, so, you know, I didn't take it too personally. But sometimes, Dan, just when the personnel can't get the job done, you just get chunks of your playbook just get blotted out, because if you can't execute a play, you're not going to call it.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You still have to run the football. Every team has to run the football. If I'm defensively, if I know that you can't run the football and you have an offensive line that is not very good in terms of your protection, and you become one-dimensional, I'm just pinning my ears back.
You take away the run, you take away the pass. I'll say this, though.
I guess my point is that Kyle Shanahan, as bad as it has been, you're going to see a lot more of what you call run left and run right. They're going to try to establish that zone running scheme, which has been so effective, and they're going to try and get McCaffrey on track. Hopefully, I don't think it's Kittle so much catching the ball. It certainly could be, but I think it's his blocking that has really been sorely missed on this football team. Mm. And if Kittle can unlock them offensively, they're going to try, and again, it might be a futile attempt, but they will try and run the football because they have to at the end of the day.
I will say this, last week, Dan, they went against a defense in the Bucs. It was holding teams to about 88 yards per game on the ground. Falcons, not as stingy on the run defense. They're 16th in yards per game allowed at 114. The Niners, by comparison, allowed 107 yards on average per game on the ground. So the run defense they're facing this week, not as stingy as they've seen in the last few weeks. So that's going to be a benefit for them as well. I mean, another team they face, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're up there in terms of yards per game. They're up on the high on the list, but down there in terms of how few yards allowed, yards per game rushing they allow. Jaguars coming in at 91 yards per game. Again, I mentioned the Bucs at 88.2. So they've faced a couple stingy run defenses in the last few weeks, where compare that to a team like the LA Rams, where, you know, they're right there, same as the Niners, allowing 107 yards per game. So just by the fact of the virtue of playing a defense that is not as good as the last two teams that beat you, you know, you could feel a little bit better about, you know what, maybe these conditions are more just a better situation for the 49ers run game to maybe get a little bit of momentum going.
Yeah, and the thing about offensive lines is that you can't just simply say, okay, you're not good. How the hell are we going to get through the rest of the season? Offensive lines, I always make them analogous to sort of like Las Vegas dance girls or those, the Rockettes. It takes a while to get everybody synchronized. It's very nuanced. Like, it's everybody has to be on the same page. There has to be a certain rhythm. And oftentimes it takes, especially now with abbreviated training camps and summer football, preseason football, it takes a while, especially for the Trent Williams who don't play during the preseason. It takes a while for everybody to get on the same page. Usually is like a month or two. So I wouldn't abandon this offensive line entirely. Obviously, you need some guys to get healthy, but maybe, you know, tomorrow's the day when they finally get on track. George wants to talk about the O-line, 888-957-9570. Let's get out to Los Altos. George, what's on your mind, man?
Hey, guys. I think we all agree about the offensive line, but just going to what you said earlier about Kyle is going to have to come up with some schemes and so forth and so on, and I think he has, and I think he can. But the point is, for us to ever exceed 100 yards rushing in a game, strictly rushing as opposed to flares out to Christian, is not going to happen with this offensive line. And I hate to say it, as a West Virginia boy, McKivitz, unfortunately, a West Virginia Mountaineer, is the weak link in the offensive line. I mean, he gets beat constantly. And so until we're able to fix that situation to give Christian just a little hole like they used to off tackle, we're not going to really be able to do what we used to do. And so people say, well, maybe Christian's lost a step. No. Have you seen him in the open field after he catches a pass? He has not lost a thing. That's Christian. He's all.
No, you're on point there, George, and it seems like
George, get on another line and call us back. You cut out there.
But I he's spitting facts, in my opinion. You know, it is at some point, it's just, and to your point, Dan, you say, you know, the offensive line, it takes a minute for things to gel. That is why it's just, you can't just fix it with a trade. You know, you can't just go out and trade for some other team's offensive lineman and bring them in, because you got to get them up to speed on the blocking schemes. And in an offense like Kyle Shanahan's, you got to know where your first step's always got to be. You can't be any hesitation there. And the first step is key for an offensive lineman. If you don't get that first step up, you're going to get beat every single time. And if you're trying to figure out, you know, where you're supposed to be blocking on a certain play, where you're supposed to be going on a pass block, it's just, you can't have that happening when you're also, you know, in the middle of a game. So basically, this is all a long-winded way of saying the fix is going to have to come internally.
I agree.
Like, someone's just going to have to start playing better. Dominic Pooney, he's dealing with a PCL injury in his knee right now. You can say that, and this is the same with any injured player, that that's a factor. You know, injuries aren't an excuse, but they are a factor. Connor Colby, I was high on him in the preseason. I like the start that he had here. He's kind of having some rookie regression right now. That's kind of problematic.
Well, let's keep in mind, Ben Bartsch will be back.
Yeah, and that's, I've never really been that high on Ben Bartsch, to be honest. And then, you know, again, Jake Brendel, I think, is a capable center, but he's been blown up a lot. And so it just, for me, it just all comes down to the regression of Trent Williams has really sent a domino effect on this offensive line, because you can't rely on him like you used to. And that, you know, that off tackle run to the left, it used to be predictable because you couldn't stop it, because Trent was just that good at it. That's not the case anymore. And so it's going to be really hard as this season goes along for the 49ers to get consistent performances on offense, when the lifeblood of any offensive production, the offensive line, is as compromised performance-wise as it is right now.
Well, you said Colton McKivitz is the weak link right now. I think, to your point, I think he's the one guy that actually you can rely on, as bad as he has been, because mm-hmm. –
And that's, like I
it's
said
not
earlier,
Pony, and it's certainly not the
not
kid,
a situation you want to be in.
Yeah, so I think that there's a – listen, this always happens with offensive lines. And it just takes a while, man, because it's not only that you have to learn your first step and learn the plays, but it's also you have to know the guy next to you, what it is that he's doing, because everything has to be in unison. Go ahead.
But, well, to that point, though, Dan, I mean, it's not like these are a collection of five guys who've never played on the line together. Brendel, Pooney, McKivitz, yeah, and Williams were all on the line last year. Ben Bartsch was on the line last year before he was hurt. I mean, this is a group that has been playing together for a few years. I mean, Williams, McKivitz, and Brendel were on the offensive line in 2022 a few years ago. You know, and Dominic Pooney slotted right in there and fit in right away last year. Adjustments and learning how to play alongside with each other, that should not be an issue for this offensive line. If they're still having those issues, then the Niners' issues run far deeper than just failure to provide, you know, run blocking.
Well, you could play together and you could be teammates on an offensive line and be intact for over a period of, say, 3 to even 5 years. But I still do think, even as frequently as you guys play together, it takes a while for you guys to hit your stride. Mm-hmm. Like every year, I think it takes.
Especially if you don't do training camp or
exactly.
Preseason.
And I think that it's very nuanced when it comes to, I know I'm overusing that word. Somebody on the text line is like, nuanced, Dan.
Call us the nuanced football league.
It is when you talk about an offensive line, the subtleties that go into it in order to be effective, it's a science that I think is much more complex than being a wide receiver that's just simply
it's science
getting an out route and then catching a football. There's obviously a lot more that goes into it, but I think that you have to err on the side of patience when it comes to offensive lines. And Brendel is not bad statistically when you look at his numbers throughout his career.
He's okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, McKivitz is what he is, but Pooney certainly is much better than he has been. And I know you don't like Bards, but in Trent Williams, I don't think it's the end of the road for him.
I think it is. I honestly think his days as an elite offensive tackle are over. I don't think he's in the top five. If you were to have a draft, every team, you know, can draft a left tackle right now. I don't think he goes in the top five. I'm not even sure if he goes in the top 10 right now. That's just how much I think he's fallen off this year. And so much so to the point here, Dan, and, you know, we were having this argument on the Morning Roast earlier this week in terms of whether the 49ers invest in the offensive line or not. You know, they have been making investments in the draft in the offensive line. The problem is they've whiffed on some picks. Mike McGlinchey, you know, we couldn't wait to get rid of him. Jalen Moore never really caught on. Aaron Banks, he left this last offseason. No one seemed to miss him. Why? None of those guys were that great. You know, they were capable. They weren't great. And when you're going to be a run-first team, you know, you need to take better care of the offensive line investments. And I think that the criticism I have for this team is that, for better or for worse, they didn't have a solid backup option behind Trent Williams in terms of when this 37-year-old's game starts to taper off, which it will do, what are we going to do to pivot there? They don't have a plan for that this year. And so I think going into next year, though, that does kind of, you know, simplify things. Your draft needs are simple. You need to beef up the offensive line. And I do think with the draft we saw last year that Shanahan had, where there was a lot of restocking of the defensive talent, 3 defensive linemen, another linebacker, they added to the secondary a little bit. You know, he really restocked the talent on the defensive side of the ball as he tries to rebuild this team up into another Super Bowl contender. My prediction right now, Dan, here in week 7 of the NFL season with the draft, still a billion weeks away. Yeah, I think the Niners going to be very, very heavy in investing on the offensive line of the draft next year, or at least they should be. This philosophy that Shanahan's had with the offensive line in the past cannot be the philosophy he has with the offensive line going into the draft next
year. It's one of the most difficult positions to find players, though. And the reason is that nobody wants to play offensive line anymore. Everybody's on the defensive side.
Just go to the
Big
Ten. Just find some big hog molly out of the Big
Ten.
One
of those big Midwestern guys.
Just gotta go find those Joel Alt types, those big 6'7" white dudes with no aura who wear collared shirts all the time.
Yeah, I know, but they're not as frequent as they once were. I'm telling you, everybody, you just simply, because money dictates a lot of this, just like you don't see as many good running backs anymore. It's just the positions don't pay.
Yeah.
Right? So everybody wants to be a wide receiver that was once a running back. And anybody that was on an offensive line now wants to be a defensive end because that's where the money's at. All right. When we continue here on 95.7 The Game, I want to talk about injuries. Did you do your Kyle Shanahan point?
No, we can do it on the other side, though.
All right. Let's talk about Kyle Shanahan. I also want to get into the injuries as we talk about Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, and sort of a blanket statement about NFL players today as it relates to injuries. Or do you think it's just the San Francisco 49ers and something specifically that they're doing or not doing that has led to the myriad of injuries that they've had to deal with? It's Sam Lubman, it's Dan Devone, and it's Caddy Zach here on a Saturday as we roll along right after this.
Are you curious about who offers the best deals on top-rated Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs?
The answer is surprising. It's not online.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.